It is really hard to believe that another year has just about slipped away. And as another year slips away, this is my last Sunday night for this year to preach. And at the end of this year, it brings to a conclusion 23 years of pastoral ministry for my wife and I. I don't know how you feel about 23 years, but 23 years seems like it's an awfully long time. I know Brother Gibson, that's just a drop in the hat for his pastoral ministry, but I'm still supposed to be young. I'm not retired, but 23 years just seems like it slipped away so quickly. I know. Begin 24. First Sunday of the new year. Just unbelievable. But God has been good all the time. Praise God. Galatians chapter 2 this evening. I want to take a verse of Scripture out of context. What I mean by that is, I want to take it out of its context. In doing so, I don't think that I'm going to do any damage to it. If you pay attention, I think you'll understand. The reason why I say that is because I'm not going to look at the context around it. I just want to look at the verse itself. But in doing that, sometimes we can do damage to the context or the contextual message of it. I'm not going to do that tonight. Paul's writing here, the second chapter of the book of Galatians. And I want to look at verse number 20. If we were to look at the further context, we would see that Paul is pointing completely to Christ. He is not in any way trying to draw attention to himself more than what he's trying to draw attention to Christ. Now, he is focusing on himself because that's who he's talking about. But his focus, his point of interest, is that the eyes or the mind, the pointing goes to Christ. So let me read that verse this evening. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. If we analyze the sanctified life, what does it reveal to us? What is the central principle of that revelation? The sanctified life. Sanctified, in the Old Testament, it mainly meant consecrated or set apart for sacred use. The New Testament brings about a little more clarity in that. Not only the setting aside or setting apart, not aside, but apart for sacred use, but also it would include this area of cleansing, of purity in the sanctified life. What does it reveal to us? What is the central principle that is revealed as we analyze the truly sanctified life. There's a lot of churches today that will preach about the sanctification of the New Testament scriptures. And many times the message that they're giving is quite similar to what we would stand and agree with or raise a hand and say amen to. Quite often. You know, there's been some great theologians of our day that have passed away in recent weeks. R.C. Sproul, I think, is one of them. Even though he wouldn't go along with all of our doctrine, he has said some powerful things. He has taught some precious truths out of God's Word. And so it's common among Christian churches. Maybe not every church is going to go that way. There's some that are really off the deep end. But for the most part, there's still a good message of the sanctified life that is being preached. It just doesn't go to the same extent or the depths or the consistency of what we would believe and agree with. So what does it reveal to us when we think about and talk about the revelation or as we analyze the truly sanctified life? What revelation does it give us as to the central principle of that sanctified life? I think we could go to the words of Paul in Philippians and find that to be the principle, the central principle of what he is saying is the sanctified life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 22. I'm going to pick up with verse 22. Well, let me pick up in the middle of verse 22. If you're trying to follow along, I'll give you a little bit of a warning there. I'll pick up in the middle of 20. Did I say 22? In the middle of 20. And or so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. But the power is placed in the next verse, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, the final part. But we're looking at analyzing the sanctified life. And I believe that the principle is found in the first part of verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Just say it to yourself. We could say it all together, but just say it to yourself. For me to live is Christ. What is life to you? When we're thinking about the sanctified life, or the thought simply of living for Jesus, when it boils right down to it, that is the bottom line, living for Jesus. That's the base of it. That's where it all stems from, right there. What is life to you? Is it possible for somebody looking on, and I don't want it to be something that we are stuck on, that we are discouraged over when I say this, but if somebody was looking on, what would be their commentary or what would be their testimony of your testimony? About what is your life, or what is life like for you? For me to live is what? What would they say about your life? You know, it's been said a number of times that people could just review the notations in our checkbook and decide what kind of a Christian we are, or if we are a Christian. Well, that's stretching things a little bit, because there's a whole lot of bills that are noted right there, probably. By the time you get done with the bills, the pleasurable parts, the notations for the other things are probably minuscule. But that's the point that people are trying to get at. And when the preaching gets going and you're in that fervor of preaching, they can tell by your checkbook notations, your entries. But it goes beyond that. What about our daily life? For me to live is, and somebody else is giving the commentary. Now again, you can't get down and despondent because there are people around that will look at our lives with their perceptions, and they can very easily misjudge us. It happens over and over. So I don't want you to get down if you hear somebody. Now, maybe if somebody says something negative, then take account of it and spend some time reviewing it. But, let's not get down over it. Because here's where it is. When it comes down to the reality of it, I'm going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. And that person, whoever it is, isn't going to stand there with you and argue against you in the face of God. And so when this question really is to be answered, it's to be answered with us personally in the presence of God or in light of God's word. For me to live is it business? Is it the pursuit of selfish pleasures? For me to live is my clothing, dress. For me to live is knowledge. For me to live is gold, or for me to live is sport, or for me to live is politics, or for me to live is, dare I say this one? For me to live is family? That's a little tough, isn't it? Because we're family-oriented people. But what is it that Jesus said? If those don't want to forsake all, they cannot be my disciple. And he mentions family. So in light of that, we have to keep family in place. Somebody said the fully sanctified life is a life entirely surrendered to and fully swallowed up in the life of Christ. The fully sanctified life is a life entirely surrendered to and fully swallowed up in the life of Christ. Isn't that the essence of Paul's little phrase, "For me to live is Christ"? And what he was saying in the previous verse, "So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it's by life or by death. Because for me to live is Christ." Now that doesn't give us any room or any debate to neglect legitimate things and ties and duties and responsibilities of life. Some people think that the only way that they can overcome the world is if they flee from the world. The only way that they can be free from sin is if they depart from all contact. But Jesus, in his prayer, in his high priestly prayer, we could say, that he was praying for those, his disciples, those that were part of, lived in the world. And we are to realize that we are not to be of this world and yet still in this world. So what is he saying? What does he mean? And what is to be our objective and our purpose? Well, we can go back to Matthew. Jesus tells us exactly how we are to live and what our goal and purpose is. Now, Paul tells us over and over that we are to glorify God. We see that really repeatedly in the writings of Paul. But Jesus tells us very clearly that our purpose in life is one thing, to be a witness for Him. But beyond that, the secondary, or not the secondary, but the second part of that, or the explanation of that, would be what He says in Matthew, is it chapter 5, where He said, we are to be salt and light. That means, and the principle there is that the people that are salt and light are permeating the darkness with light, and the people that are salt are seasoning life. They are making a difference in life. They are preserving things that are right and righteous. We are to be in contact with people . I had somebody stop me. I was pumping gas at RJ's this week. One of those many visits to the gas station. And I was just, you know, minding my own business, and somebody walked by and spoke to me. Said, are you a pastor? I'm in blue jeans and flannel. You know, I wasn't in a suit. Blue jeans and flannel. Are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. She said, do you pastor Wiseball? Yes, ma'am, I do. I don't know what all was going through her mind. I didn't ask. We talked for a little bit, shared a little bit. I didn't ask what was going through her mind when it came to Wiseball. But she knows who Wiseball is. She knows that there's a group of people that gather out here, and this guy, somehow she figured that I was the pastor. Now that may be small and insignificant, but the thing is that that is being light and salt. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the whole essence that was involved there, and she was just picking me out as a part of. Something in her mind is churning, and wheels are turning about Wiseball. There's something there, and we may never, ever understand what's going on in people's lives around us, but we are to be salt in their lives. We are to be light pressing against the darkness of this world. For me to live is Christ. Every part of our life, absolutely surrendered. Not surrendered in a forced, slavish, grudging obedience. I don't think that that's it at all. I don't think that that is the driving force of it at all. I don't think that that is the spirit of it at all. Now, for some people, they feel like Christianity or serving God or surrendered to God straitjacket, and I feel sorry for people like that. I really do. And I'm not even sure I can even help them, because I can't understand that. Now, I suppose that if we are constantly looking at the negatives, then maybe I can understand that. But for everything that is taken away from me, everything that I can't do, it seems to me like there's a whole lot more given and a whole lot more that I can. I wish I had that illustration of the older couple that came to Christ in their later years in front of me so I could read it exactly the way that it is. But she, the lady, was grumbling to her husband about all the things that was taken away from them. And he began to reiterate to her all the things that were given. All the blessings of God that came from serving Him. Yeah, I suppose that we could say that it'd be a grudging service when we think about all the things that may have been taken away. But if we focus and forget about that and focus on all the blessings that He has given us, absolutely surrendered to Him. You know, David, the man after God's own heart that is recorded, he mentions in Psalm 40, he said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. I delight to do Thy will. That was the Old Testament psalmist. Could it be any less that Paul is saying the same thing in different words here in this passage this evening, that he is crucified with Christ? For me to live is Christ. It's not a drudgery. It's a blessing. It is a wonderful thing, or using the King James word here for David's writing, it's a delight to do. It's a delight to do. Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. May it be our heart prayer for the coming year, for it to be said of us, yes, they are living for Christ. So that God is glorified in everything that we do. Everything that we do. That's what the New Testament principle is. And that's what Paul was saying when he talks about being crucified with Christ. For me to live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth within me. Living for Jesus. Let's stand together tonight.